Would you turn to Hosea 4:6? Come on, we haven't heard this scripture in a while. Thank you, Master. Ooh, thank you. Hosea 4:6. Don't panic if I go up and smoke. Can everybody still hear me? Praise God. Hosea 4:6. I think we need some new cables on this thing. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Oh, to God be the glory. You know how many believers are destroyed? The word destroy is a representation of decay. For lack of knowledge. Knowledge is a representation of truth. Amen? He said, because you have rejected knowledge or the truth of the Lord, he said, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Now that is someone that's close to God. Because you have forgotten the law of your God or his ways, in other words, you knew them once and you forgot them, he says, I will also forget your children. Now, it's more than just physical. Not only will he forget, in other words, he will reject your children until due time. Many of us have had children out there and we've done goofy things and we found that our children haven't been saved yet. But when we come to the Lord, we stay in that position, we'll find that they will get saved. Amen? Because he says you and your household will be saved. But it's also a representation of things that you have birthed in the Spirit. He said he will forget them. Things that when you walked with God and then you began to reject him, things that he used you for in past, things that you birthed in the Spirit, he will not count them on your behalf anymore. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. So you and I must not only have the knowledge of God and walk in His truth, but not forget His truth. So God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed. You know how many times people get involved, no matter what it may be, they get caught up in other things and they begin to sway away from what God is asking them to do. And those are representations where you have forgotten my law. And it's not just about the written law, it's about what He's asked you to do. You've forgotten what I've done. Remember, the Lord rebuked the church for not getting back to their first works. Right in the book of Revelation, He said, come on, get back to your first works of what I told you to do. I mean, I see you're doing this, I see you, but this is what I have against you. You need to get back to your first works and what I've called you to do. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In circumstances like that, what God begins to do is hide Himself. And I just want to share a couple of things on why He hides Himself. Why does God hide Himself? Amen? Turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Can everybody still hear me? Okay, praise God. Thank you, Master. You know, so many times we think, oh, Lord, where are you? Why is this happening? Why can't I do this? Why hasn't your hand moved on this? What's what? Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Read it with me. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened. Hello? His hand isn't shortened. That it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Now the word iniquities is inherited, things that we've inherited, sin. And your sins is a representation. It says your sins have hidden his face from you. Sin is a representation of the presence of evil. So if you're associating with the presence of evil, God will hide his face from us. Won't he? He said, for your hands are defiled with blood. You know, so many times we think, well, then I'm not a murderer. You know that if you cause someone to stumble, there's blood on your hands. If you're a poor example to someone by causing them to stumble, the blood is on your hands. The Bible tells us that if we don't expose, in other words, you know, the world calls it a tattletale or whatever, a stoolie, whatever. But the Bible tells us if you see a brother doing something wrong, that you're to expose it. And if you don't, the blood is on your hands. Amen. So these are certain areas of things in the Spirit. Why? Because God is always out to expose us so that we can be rescued. You know, when so many people, they know somebody's doing wrong and they just allow it to happen. Now, don't get me wrong, and all things are in God's timing and so forth. There's times when the Lord tells me, okay, of course, the person's been counseled enough times and he says, let the course run. But they've already been told. Why? Because so the blood's not on my hands, because then I'm accountable. And every one of us in this room is accountable if you know a brother's doing wrong and don't expose it. It doesn't mean that you go to the treetops and you tell everyone. It means the Bible says that you go to the brother and you say, listen, man. And if he's not willing to listen, you take another brother. And if he's not willing to listen, then you bring it to the office of the body of Christ. Amen. So that person can be dealt with. Because the Bible says don't even walk with a brother who's not doing the right things or following the doctrine. Right? Oh, hallelujah. He says, for your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity. So we also see here that the mouth can also cause a separation from God. This is why God hides his face. Sometimes he's waiting for our mouth to get cleared up. Oh, hallelujah. It says, no one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. And it doesn't mean that, oh, God, bring your truth. It's, oh, God, reveal your truth in me. In other words, bring your light and truth in me. Show me what I'm doing wrong so that your truth can set me free. Amen. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. In other words, they birth things of evil by what? What they speak. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave the spider's web. For he who eats of their eggs dies. And from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. In other words, it's eating the fruit of unwickedness. The Bible tells us that others delight and the delicacies of the wickedness, they eat of them. When you touch and agree with something that's wicked, you've just partaken in it, even though you've not done anything, but you agreed with it. Anytime you agree with something that's wicked, you've partaken in it. And the devil wants you to think, well, I didn't do anything with it, so I can just walk away from it. No, the blood is on your hands. These are things that hide the face of God. Amen? Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. One of the other things that I want to just share about hiding the face of God. Hiding the face of God is also a representation of unanswered prayers. That's one of the ways he hides his face from us. We don't get any answers. What's up? Where are you? Well, you can count on that most of the time you haven't gotten an answer from God is because something's not right. Or there's other reasons. It's not always because something's not right. Sometimes he's trying to keep us in a place so we can learn or whatever. But there are many reasons why God will hide his face. But one of the major reasons he hides his face from us is because of sin. Does everybody understand that? Because of sin. There's something we're not doing correctly, or there's something he's asked us to do that we've disobeyed in doing. It's just like when God hides his face from us, it's a representation of his chastening us. Amen? Because he will not approve unrighteousness, will he? No. He won't promote it. He won't say, good job today, you sinned well. He's not going to bless you for unrighteousness, is he? No way. Vows. Many people make vows before God. Lord, I'm going to do this. I promise. You know how many times people sign contracts, even with people who go out and get loans, and they make covenants, and they don't fulfill them. Does God forgive? Yes. But until repentance is brought forth, that's an open door. God looks at us and says, listen, if you can't do the things in that, in the natural realm, how can I trust you in the things of the spirit realm? Amen? And it all catches up to us, doesn't it? Oh, hallelujah. So he separates us, doesn't he? Or he separates from us. He hides his face, or he doesn't answer prayer. Is everybody with me? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting at verse 8. Would you read it with me? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Some of the suffering is a representation of God hiding his face. I'll never forget when the Lord shared with me, he put me in a position where I had to wait and wait and wait. And it's like, where are you? What's what? And finally, I was in a courtroom. And I was waiting to get called up to the judge. It was a ticket I was fighting. I got a ticket for reckless driving. Hallelujah. And I knew the officer was incorrect. So the judge, nobody called my name. And I said, Lord, is this part of this long-suffering? And he said, yes. I said, okay. And he says, make sure you don't say anything when you get up there. I thought, well, no. Because we have a tendency to want to justify. Justification always ends up in a lie. It begins and then ends up in a lie. Don't get sucked into justification. So I went up there, didn't have to say a word. The judge said, well, the officer's not here, dismissed. Okay, see ya. But I really didn't have to say anything. It was a part of that long suffering. Like, okay, Lord, where are ya? You know, I'm a king's kid. Come on, you know. I should be brought up first and removed from here. And, you know, well, it doesn't always happen that way. Not that it can't. Amen? So we've got some of the suffering. And suffering, of course, is a result of chastening, isn't it? God chastens us. He says he chastens those he loves. But so many times we reject his chastening. We have a hard time with receiving the chastening of the Lord, especially when it comes from man. Oh, hallelujah. So even unanswered prayer can cause a little suffering, can it? Oh, what do I do now? And its result is chastening. He says he wants to settle us. In other words, that we get so settled, so established in a position that when God hides his face, we're searching ourselves to find out if we've done anything wrong. We're repenting in every area, shutting the door of the devil, and then waiting on God. He wants to put us in a position where we are so settled and so attached that we will not be moved. Sometimes things will be going just smoothly, and all of a sudden the Lord just left the planet. You know, it's like, where are you? What happened? Why are you hiding your face? Sometimes he hides his face because he wants us to grope after him. Sometimes he just wants us to seek him. And it doesn't mean that anything's going to happen. Sometimes he'll allow us to go after him so that our flesh becomes mortified. Sometimes there's little things that we don't even realize. Sometimes he wants us to fast and separate ourselves unto him. There could be many reasons, so I'm only going to be able to touch a few of them tonight. Amen? Why he hides himself. Would you turn to James chapter 4? Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 4. Would you read verses 1 through 6 with me? Oh, hallelujah. God is speaking to us tonight. No, he's not just speaking to you alone. He's speaking to all of us. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You know, pleasures are a representation of things that you want. Things that fulfill you instead of what God wants. Anything that is the opposite of what God wants is known as a pleasure to me and you. It says, you lust and do not have. See, he calls it lust. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, or you don't get answered prayer because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So these desires or these pleasures are representation of the things of the world. When you begin to seek these desires and pleasures of the world, God will hide himself. Remember, he will not, because we have this inclination that because we're being blessed, God is pleased with us. And that's not true. That's not true. Because the Bible says that it rains blessing on the wicked and the righteous. Hello? Now we know that there's a difference in the blessings of the Lord, because in the long run, you think, well then, why are the wealthy so wealthy even though they do unrighteous things? Right? Well, you know, the devil will try to block the blessings of God towards me and you, but blessings towards the unrighteous, the devil promotes, doesn't he? Amen? He's a promoter. I mean, he's a promoter of evil. He'll finance his kingdom every way he can. Look at how the terrorists are getting their kingdom financed. Amen? I mean, they're opening up all of these businesses and so forth because it's a promotion of evil. People don't realize, you know, so many things are being exposed because we are so close to the end time. Things are being, I mean, you think about terrorists and that's being so much more exposed now compared to 5 or 6 years ago. Because light is shining more and more. Do you know that there are more people getting saved? I want to share something with you that was powerful just to bring encouragement to everyone. There was a brother on TV, Terry Law, powerful man of God. He was in Iraq. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, the media does not tell you the truth at all. He was with the president of Iraq and his assistant and some of their associates. They were actually pulling out money out of their own pockets to rebuild the Christian churches. They have set aside money for the churches. This guy was saying that so many churches are being built and so much revival is happening in Iraq that the media is not letting you know. They're building schools and all kinds of things. He said, such revival is breaking out in Iraq. It's phenomenal. He said, they are promoting Christianity. He says, but the media will not tell you the truth of what's going on there. He was telling about, he gave a story about this individual who was I don't know what you call him, like a pastor, you know, I don't know what they do it in the Muslim. Whatever. A leader. Well, I don't know what a sheik or shock or I don't know. But anyways, he was someone that was leading the Muslim beliefs, like a rabbi or whatever. And he was dying of cancer. And he had churches that followed him. And he was dying of cancer in the hospital, and the Lord walked in his room and told him he was going to heal him. But he wanted him to preach the gospel. So the Lord healed him. He went back to his churches. Everyone in all of his churches got saved. And there's miracle signs and wonders happening in their churches. These are the things that the media is not telling you. The Lord is exposing. The Bible tells us in the latter days that he was going to expose himself more. God, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is actually going to many of these Muslim leaders and revealing himself. Walking right in and touching them and changing them and healing them and revealing themselves. Because these people can't be touched or reached only by Jesus himself. And the gospel, and that is the sign of the last time, isn't it? That's the sign of the last days. He said, my gospel will be preached through all the world. And it's happening. It's happening in a great and mighty way. So I wanted to bring everyone encouragement of what's really going out over there. Even though the media is saying all this other stuff. Because they lie. Oh, hallelujah. But we know Jesus is coming soon. And you and I have to prepare. So God is hiding his face from us in certain areas. And there's a purpose and there's a reason. One of the things he wants us to do is be separated and sanctified unto him more. He wants us to get settled, unmovable, especially during his last days. So he will hide himself from us. And like I said, there are many reasons and purposes, and we can only handle a few of them tonight. Oh, hallelujah. One of them we just talked about is having fellowship with the world. People are asking. Remember, hiding his face is also a representation of unanswered prayer. Why is Jesus hiding his face from us? One of the things he said is, man, because you ask amiss. I know what your heart is, even though you try to convince your mind. I know why you're asking what you're asking. False justification. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Look what verse 22 says. Would you read it with me? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if we're doing things that are not pleasing in his sight, are we going to get answered prayer? No. Is he going to hide his face? Yes. Amen. And he says, listen, obey his commands and do the things that please him. In other words, things that please him as you do unto others as you want things done unto you. Obeying his commands is not only a submission to his word, but a submission to his voice. The Bible says, sow mercy and you'll get mercy, right? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 102. Verse 17. Would you read it with me? It says, he shall regard the prayer of the destitute. That's desperate. I am desperately in need of you, Lord. I am desperate. I am destitute. No one else can rescue me. I'm alone out in this desert. Help me. You're the only one that can rescue me. He answers the prayer of the destitute or the desperate and shall not despise their prayer. He won't despise it. He'll answer it. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know God already answered our prayers? I mean, we're all here, aren't we? We're all saved. We asked God's help. And he rescued us. Too bad it wasn't that simple for the way it started in the beginning. He begins to hide his face. So we begin to seek him. Sometimes he hides his face so that he wants to see what you've learned from him. He wants to know whether you're going to still walk correctly and do the things that please him. He wants to check our heart to see where we're at so that we could see where we're at. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 27. Sometimes he wants to know if we're going to still willing to do whatever it takes. In verse 7, Psalm 27 and verse 7, would you read it with me? Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. There's a person that is settled. Amen? He settled. What did he do? He humbled himself. He cried out. He cried out. He said, please, don't turn your face from me. Please. I know that everyone else will forsake me. But you won't. I know you hear my prayer. I know you hear it. You know, everybody knows that God hears the prayer. I hope they do. He says he knows your need. He knows exactly what we need before we ask. Asking is a representation of humbleness, as long as it's not asking amiss. Amen. It's a representation, listen, God desires relationship and fellowship more than anything else. You and I are always in need and will always be in need. There'll never be a time when you're not in need. The moment you reach the area where you're not in need, you're in trouble. Because you're always in need of him. See, sometimes wealthy individuals, they're always in need, but yet they have everything. Because one of the needs they need is his presence. Only in his presence are you fulfilled. But God begins to hide himself, knowing that we need more of him. He'll always keep us in need, in desire of him. Always. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody all right? Proverbs 1. That's why every morning we need to go to the Lord and need. I need you, Lord. I'm nothing without you. I'm a real bonehead without you. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. In other words, they hated truth. They did not choose to fear the Lord. that would have none of my counsel or correction or chastening, and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fantasies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely, and will be secure without fear of evil. How many times has God given us His counsel and we've rejected it? How many times has He rebuked us and we just kept, let me tell you, God will hide His face and not answer our prayers. Amen? It says they despise counsel. No respect. When you reject the counsel of the Lord, you disrespect Him. Disrespect. God will not tolerate disrespect. When we worship and so forth, and people are beginning to do certain things when we're trying to seek God, that is disrespect in the presence of the Lord. We need to learn to respect the presence of God and respect His authority. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 58. Let me ask you a quick question. Do you think the devil is trying to separate us from God? Amen. He brings deception, doesn't he? He brings deception in a great way. He brings, you know, especially when we're waiting on God for something, the devil will try to show up and bring all kinds of things. But try to move us and get us out of position so that we miss God. I hate missing God. I hate it. We should all hate missing God. Oh, Lord, I missed you. I missed it. I knew that was from you, but yet fear got in my way. And I missed you. Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. Would you read it with me? This is the Lord saying, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house to your house, the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am.' If," hello, everyone say if,
Amen.
"You take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually." Now wait a minute, he says, let's go back. If you break the yoke from among you and stop pointing the finger and speaking wickedness, ridicule. Right? Ridicule. Isn't it all out of the mouth? When you stop blaming somebody else or ridiculing somebody else. Speaking evil. Coarse jesting. Saying things about other people and exposing yourself as better. That's called speaking evil or wickedness. You know, the Bible says when people don't understand things, they call it wicked, something that they can't understand. In other words, many people think that we're wicked. They think we're a cult, just because we live on a cul-de-sac, right? Man, they pray in tongues, they must serve the devil, you know what I mean? Because people speak evil of things they don't understand. Amen? I'll never forget the first time I heard people praying in tongues. The devil's first thing he said to me, "That's the devil." But the love that these people radiated, I was like, man, I know that can't be the devil. But then I was a little weary. So I got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost and realized it wasn't the devil at all. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Let's see, where are we? The Lord will guide you continually, verse 11, and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. Oh, hallelujah. To God be the glory. You know, sometimes you just need to repent and give up yourself. Give up self is the first thing, really. You know, if you can't give up self, you can't repent. Amen? Sometimes we just need to repent and give it up. Stop. Cut it out. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to reason it. You know why people don't get healed? Because they don't really seek God. They're still trying to figure things out in a natural arena. They're looking at the circumstance instead of the deliverer and the healer. He's the only one that can rescue. You know what? You think about it. When we first started our walk, we were all put in that position just about to where he was the only one that could deliver. Our focus was totally on him. And when we begin to compromise and lose focus. That's why last week's teaching, what was it again? Restoring the vision or something like that. Was that? Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, recapture the vision was Friday night. Right, okay. Yeah, it was Friday night. Something like that. Glory to God. 1 Samuel chapter 28. How are we doing on the tape? 1 Samuel 28. Is everybody okay? Glory. First Samuel 28. Now, this is an example of, you know, when God hides his face, the devil comes and he tries to cause us to go into another area. When the prayer is not answered yet, the devil comes to try to cause us to go in another area. Saul did that. He went into another area big time. In verse 5, then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shemon. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or Urim or by the prophet. So God did not answer Saul, either by dreams, by the word from a man, or by the Urim, which they used to use. The priests used to use those. Then Saul said to his servants, "Find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "In fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor." So Saul decided to go to another direction. So many times people are chasing a word. They need to have a word when God isn't speaking. And when they're chasing the word instead of God, they open themselves up to familiar spirits. And they pretend to be the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? Let me tell you something. When you're in that state, it's difficult to discern between the Holy Spirit and the familiar spirit. That's why God puts us in fellowship, doesn't he? Hello? That's why he gives us the word, doesn't he? That's why he says, wait. See, because when you don't know what to do, you don't do nothing. But Saul, he couldn't wait. He wanted an answer. Now he didn't get an answer from the Lord, no matter where. So he sought another direction. Oh, hallelujah. Believe me, if you want a word so bad, the devil would love to give you one. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the medium and the spiritist from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? See, even Saul himself was against all of them, right? But then he went to one of them. Yeah, think about it. Think how many people read horoscopes because they're trying to find a word from the Lord. Or they go by chance in certain things, trying to find an answer. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Why? Because she realized, man, what, you crazy? I know who you are. You're the king. And you want me to do this stuff for you? He said, don't worry about it. Then a woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. You know what? Because she never saw this manifestation. You know, it was either a familiar spirit that came up or it was the Saul himself. And God allowed it. And if God allowed it, because this woman never, she freaked out when she called up for Saul. She freaked out. It says that she, what did she do? She cried out aloud. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and a woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. And I got to remember, at this period of time, heaven was not open. They were in paradise, which was in the ground. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up. And he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me. Anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore, I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. You know what Saul was supposed to do? Nothing. He was supposed to wait. Hallelujah. Then Samuel said, so, why do you ask me? Seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy. And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. By me. In other words, Saul rejected the counsel from Samuel. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon the Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Now, I don't think Saul liked that answer. And he was probably very regretful that he called Samuel up. Now, like I said, if the Lord allowed this, and it's just very possible that he allowed it, it was the only time that I've ever read about it, if he did allow it, either that or it was a familiar spirit tormenting Saul. Does everybody understand that? But what was said did come to pass, because the next day they all died. But the point of this was that when people, especially believers, when God has hidden his face or not answered according to the way they want, they seek other sources to get the answer they want. And they open themselves up to familiar spirits. And let me share something with you. When you are tormented, torment is not the presence of the Holy Spirit. Torment is the presence of the evil spirit. All torment is not your father. All torment is evil, no matter what it is. Fear, anxiety, stress, jealousy, hatred, whatever it is, it's the presence of evil. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Freedom.
Freedom. And that's one of the characters that you and I as a believer need to know. So God will hide his face to see if he can earn your trust. He wants to know sometimes whether you're going to seek something else or wait on him. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 1. So you understand that disobedience is what removed the face of God, or why God hid himself from Saul. Amen? Disobedience. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verses 41 through 46. In verse 41, it says, "Then you answered and said to me, 'We have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us.'" Now, wait a minute. First of all, he says, we sinned against the Lord, so let's go up and fight. But we've already sinned against the Lord. Now we're going to go back and do, you know, what he said. "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, 'Tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies.'" Let me share something with you. Associating with the presence of evil will cause the fight that you have spiritually, you will lose. God says, don't fight, wait on me. Because you can't defeat your enemy in that arena. When God hides his face, let me tell you something. You stand. You stand. You don't move. You wait on him. When he hasn't answered that prayer, you stand. And you fight in that position, but you don't go out to fight because you cannot overtake your enemy. In fact, the Bible says that even with accursed items, you can't go defeat your enemy until the cursed items are removed from your camp. Amen? That's in Joshua 7. Well, anything accursed is a representation of sin, isn't it? Amen? So people can become their own accursed item, can't they, because of sin. And the devil has access to us, and you can't defeat your enemy. You can't go forward. That's why so many people go in that cycle and go around the mountain over and over and over. Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the mountain. They assumed. The number one rule in our campus is don't assume. And the Amorites who dwell in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do. And drove you back from Seirah to Hamah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, sometimes God will not answer us just so we stay right where we're at. Everybody understand that? Sometimes he hides his face and he won't answer us because he knows that if he answers, in fact, he's already answered us the first time, but we're looking for a change of answer sometimes. Just like a child who first goes to the mother and says, can I have that ice cream? And the mother says, no, it's too late at night. And then the child will go to the father, Dad, can I have that ice cream? And the father will say, well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen? So we have a tendency to continue on until we get the answer that we want. And when we don't get that answer, we assume or justify. We open ourselves to familiar spirits and believing that familiar spirit is saying, it's okay. The Lord loves you. He's with you. Everything will be fine. But it's not God. It's familiar. That's why they're called familiar. Because they love to dress themselves up as the Holy Ghost. Psalm 66. How many times has the devil convinced you? In other words, sometimes we're looking for agreement with the devil has told us. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 66 and verse 18, would you read it with me? Oh, I'll start at verse 16. Hallelujah. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I'll declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. In other words, if there's something God is asking you to let go of and you're not, he will not answer your prayer. And he will hide his face until you make the choice to let go. Is everybody with me? Is everybody all right? Everybody get it? Something that God is trying to get you to get rid of, that is sin, holding on to something that's a stumbling block to you, and you refuse to let go, you're holding iniquity in your heart. And he won't answer you. Because he will not promote sin. He will not promote unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Claudius. Would you read it with me? Therefore, Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now, I want to share something very important, because there are a lot of things that we think are clean that are unclean. Anything that God has not told you to do is unclean, and that you do. Let me explain that. So many people go, they get saved, and they take what the Word says. It says, go make disciples of individuals. People just come out of addictions and so forth. They go to the crack house. They try and rescue someone because the Word says that the familiar spirit was convincing the individual. That individual ends up staying at the crack house himself. So because God didn't tell them to, and they went and did it anyways, it's called unclean. It opens the door to familiar spirits and unclean things. Even if a believer, you know, there are believers that God has told me not to associate with. I don't ask them why. I just say, okay. That's why he says, come out from among them. When we felt, it's called wrong fellowship. If we're fellowshipping with individuals that God is telling us not to fellowship with, he will hide his face and he will not answer prayer. Is everybody with me? Why? Because he wants to know if you're willing to do whatever it takes. He wants to know if you're going to be obedient. He knows whether you're picking stuff up from someone or not. And things may look beautiful on the surface. And they may be tickling to your soul. But if God is saying no, you can't. And in your carnal understanding or in your eyes, there may be, why can't I? It just doesn't make sense. Well, then you need to get the tape when God doesn't make sense. Because he's not concerned whether it makes sense or not. He's concerned whether you're obedient or not. Amen? And he knows what the end result will be. The Bible says, bad company corrupts good habits. Well, I don't see how it can be bad company. Well, if you're disobedient to God, it becomes bad company. Does everybody understand that? Amen? There are, listen, I don't know what the circumstances with individuals, but there are individuals God has shared with me I don't want you to have fellowship with. They're your brothers, you treat them as a brother. They're your sisters, you treat them as sisters. You love them, but you don't fellowship with them. I've not called you to fellowship with them. And you don't. Amen? Praise God. But when you do, that's called disobedience, isn't it? And that will hide the face of God, and you will not get prayers answered. The only prayer that you'll get answered is by that familiar spirit that's saying, hey, it's all right. Hey, God said do this. And we'll begin to justify why and what we do. And it's offensive to the Lord. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Let's keep going. Go to chapter 7, the next one. In verses 8 through 10. Paul said, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I did not regret it. Glory to God. Though I did regret it, for I perceived that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, but not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces what? Oh, man, you know how many times the devil will bring you to, oh, man, I'm really bummed out of the things I lost in the world. I'm so sorry I lost all of those. You know, I can tell you about all the things I used to have, and I just so sorry I lost them. Paul said, I considered everything from this point past dung, poop, for the knowledge that I have of Jesus Christ now. Has everybody got it? See, when you begin to sorrow for the material things that you've lost in your life, God will hide his face. That's the wrong sorrow. The right sorrow is the one that leads to repentance. I'm sorry, Lord, for even sorrowing over that. Does everybody understand that? I repent, Lord, for associating with anything that is offensive to you. Anything. You know, so many people are caught up in what they had and what they've lost. God will hide his face and not answer your prayer because that's association with the world. Does everybody understand that? You said that you gave your life to the Lord and it's no longer your life. Well, what are you sorry for? What the things you had and what you've lost? It don't mean nothing. You can't take it home with you. That will also open the door to demonic activity in your life. You'll be associating with those familiar spirits called woe is me. They'll come up and Gucci Gucci goo you. Oh, man, you remember all the stuff you used to have and look what you've lost. They'll get you in the mode of catch up, fix up, self-fixer upper. To where you begin to get pushed by the devil to try and do things instead of being led by the Spirit and waiting on God. Everybody understand? Man, that's one of the great deceptions of the devil. Let me tell you. Whew. Glory. In verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces what? Death. Proverbs 21. Hallelujah, surgery's almost over. Proverbs 21. Glory to God. Sorrow of worldly losses. Oh, glory. Thank you, Papa. Thank you for forgiveness and repentance. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. Would you read it with me? It says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Hallelujah. You know, so many people get themselves in debt that they can't even help others. They have to shut their ears to the poor. One of the reasons for that is because people have self-desires. They put themselves in debt in such a great way that they can't help others. And that's a ploy of the devil, isn't it? Well, we can't. It's a bummer as a believer of Jesus Christ, especially as followers for a while, and we can't walk down the street and somebody's in need and bless them because we're so in debt because of our selfishness. Amen? That ought to produce godly sorrow and repentance. You know, the reason why people get in debt is because they don't seek counsel of God. The willingness and desire of self. I see so many people buy cars with such great interest rates and they are in debt. And they can call it a blessing from God. Well, God bless me with this. That's great. Can you tithe? No, I don't have any money. You kidding? I got to pay that car payment. Well, that ain't God. God doesn't interrupt himself. I got to work two jobs. No, I can't go to church. You kidding? Bible study? Forget it. Hallelujah. I won't go any further. Never mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, go to Zechariah. Chapter 7. You know, when it says here, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard, that's also neglect to show mercy. You know, as you sow mercy, you reap mercy. Zechariah. Glory to God. Zechariah in chapter 7 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? Wait a minute. No wonder why I'm in the wrong chapter. Right again. Everybody turn to chapter 7, okay? In verse 11. Would you read it with me? But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations, which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Stubbornness will hide the face of God in our life. Stubbornness. And unanswered prayer. James chapter 1. Okay? Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into various trials, not that you won't. People don't like falling into various trials. Everyone falls into various trials. That's why it's called various. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, you will be tested. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, not being moved. If any of you lacks wisdom, now let me share something with you. The reason why he mentions wisdom is because you may have knowledge and not know what to do with it. Wisdom has the effect of knowing what's coming and know how to use the knowledge for what's coming. Wisdom tells knowledge what to do. There are many people that have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom, they haven't got it. They haven't got it. See, wisdom focuses in all directions, sees things which is coming, and sees things everywhere. Knowledge just holds on, stuck. Here's the knowledge. This is how it must be done. But when do I do it? How do I apply it? That's wisdom. Does everybody understand that? That's why he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. People without wisdom are unstable. They become double-minded. And you and I must have wisdom. So double-minded individuals, when God sees that we become double-minded, he begins to hide his face. Why? So we'll seek wisdom. Amen? Glory to God. Anyone who wavers, God begins to hide his face. You won't get answers. You know, we need to repent for double-mindedness and wavering. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Glory. Verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. I believe. Ooh, cool. Let's start at verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. Glory, I've heard your prayer. And have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will what? Humble themselves. Sometimes you need to eat some humble pie. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Walking in the cloak of humility, pride will always hide the face of God, and there will not be answered prayer. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 7. Everybody read with me. Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Ooh. You know, it's not only just in that area of how you treat your spouse, but how you treat others. God will hinder your prayers. He will hide his face from you the way you treat others. Like I said, sow mercy, receive mercy. Amen? How you treat others is very important. God will hide his face. And I'm going to close at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Praise God. Okay, we're all getting sewed up now. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving himself for us as an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes among the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord or pleasing to Him. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, recognize them, rebuke them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Awake you who are blinded. Awake you who associate with the presence of evil. Awake. Arise from the dead. And Christ will give you life. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And we ask, Lord, please don't hide your face from us. In any area that, Lord, you're hiding your face from us, and we're waiting for answered prayer, and there's unanswered prayer because of things that we've done in any way, Lord, we repent. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We repent. And we ask, Holy Father, that you'd wash us with your blood and reestablish your presence in all of our lives here tonight. For it's you whom we seek. It's you whom we desire. You said it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. So Holy Spirit, expose us, reveal to us, and bring your life in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.